The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Nestle Malaysia's revenue, profits and share prices have been on an upward trajectory driven by household brands such as Maggi, Nescafe and Milo. But amidst all these positives, are they enough to offset perceived failures in the market? This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome the CEO of Nestle Malaysia, Alois Hofbauer. Good morning, Alois, and welcome back to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again. Thanks a lot.
It's our pleasure. Now, Alois, earlier this year, we had Dato' Amir Ali Maidin, who's the managing director of Maidin, one of your customers, I'm sure, on The Breakfast Grill in that same seat, saying flat out, Malaysians just don't have money. Okay? But based on Nestle's numbers, are you coming to that same conclusion? Malaysians don't have money?
Well, when you really look at our results 2017 and the growth, you could see that the majority of the growth has actually coming from the domestic markets. We've been growing close to 4%, and in Malaysia, we have been growing more than 4%. Now, one of the things which is important is, and this is the way we are striving to succeed in the market, is to give consumers value for money. So over the last years, we have been working very, very hard to provide great tasting products at a very affordable price. And also at the same time, we've been coming in with a lot consumer relevant innovations. So when you look at all of that, one is, yes, definitely the market is flat. But even in a flat market, you actually can grow if you have the right value propositions. Mm.
But when it comes to your distribution channels, for example, are you seeing any shifts there? Are there different trends that we're seeing now compared to when you first came to Malaysia, what, 5-6 years ago?
Well, yeah, I arrived 5 years ago. It's 5 years now. And what you see is there are two trends which are clearly emerging. Number one is that is proximity stores or convenience stores. Convenience stores, proximity stores are growing. So people are not really, they don't really travel so long. They want to have offerings. They do their grocery close to home. That's one of the areas. The second area, and we all talk about it, of course, is e-commerce. E-commerce is growing rapidly. It's growing at X factor. And the good news is that we have been part of both growth trends in a very, very strong way.
And do you have any numbers on that X factor growth that you're seeing with e-commerce there?
Well, we are not only the leader in the grocery for F&B, we are, I'll just give you an idea, we are 15% of the grocery sales as reported by Nielsen, that's the independent market research company, but we are 30% of the e-commerce sales, and I think that's very encouraging. The growth factors, depending on categories, but we see growth factors of 5x.
And that's on year?
That's year on year.
Okay, and I'm going to assume that that's eating into the market share for your traditional brick and mortar guys then, right?
Well, interesting enough, what we have seen is that we grow our traditional channels as well as e-commerce. I think my explanation, and I think this is an explanation, is that today with e-commerce, you can reach much further and much deeper. Now, just give you an example. You're living in a kampung somewhere in the north. You would have a local grocery store. It would only have a very selected, offering of Nestle products. Now, with e-commerce, you suddenly have all the Nestle products for you. And so far, we have not seen any cannibalization. What we have seen is really that it has been top on.
Now, going back to your numbers here, look, again, I use Maidin as a comparison, right? So they talk about how their prices overall have gone up double digits, 14% over the last 5 years. How much have your prices gone up, Nestle?
No, our retail prices have literally gone up on a very, very low level. I think for almost 3-4 years, we didn't increase prices at all. We have made slight adjustments, and we really talk about 3, maximum 5% over this period. So in average, since I've been arriving in Malaysia, I think our prices have not gone up more than, I would say, around the middle 5%.
So that over 5 billion ringgit in revenue that you saw last year, that was primarily a volume game, not a price game?
Yeah, exactly, Han. We have actually growing volume higher than we have been growing value. And this is a very, very good news, because what does it mean? It literally means that we have consumers, more consumers consuming our product, or the same consumers consuming more. So very, very healthy. And that's also expressed at the same time in increase of market share. Because as you said, I've been in Malaysia now for 5 years. When I started off, we had a market share of around 14%. Today, we have a market share which is closer to 16%. So not only have we been growing the business, but we have actually been convincing more and more Malaysian consumers to buying our offerings.
So is this a case of Nestle's success being able to eat into your competitors' market share, or is the pie actually growing?
Both, right? You know, what you have is we have, you know, areas which are growing very, very fast. Maybe you remember the other day I was here, I announced that we have inaugurated a new ready-to-drink factory, which is a state-of-the-art factory.
Sri Muda, right?
Sri Muda, right, you know. And this is now really online since 2 years, and we have been going into new market segments, real growth engines. But even traditional products have been growing, and the reason is very simple. We actually continuously try to improve our products, keep our prices competitive, and making it easy for consumers to choose us.
How are you able to mitigate, say, the volatility in commodity prices that we've seen over the last few years? Obviously, the volatility in the ringgit, because half of your raw materials are imported. How are you going about that?
Yeah. I think we embarked 2013 on a strategy which we called Fuel the Growth, Innovate to Grow, and Transform to Grow. And one part of that strategy is that we are trying to save every year, and just give you a big number, last year we have saved around 195 million into our operations, and this one we reinvest back into keeping prices affordable, investing into marketing, and also doing new launches. So by doing this, and also by having a good hedging policy, and on top of that one, and I think that's very exciting, is Malaysia is the global center of procurement, one of the three global centers of procurement. So we're using our scale to get good prices, good quality from around the world. And this is coming back and benefiting the Malaysian consumers.
Benefiting as in lower prices? Because you've got better efficiencies now with that global procurement hub.
It's true. It's benefiting better prices, better quality. And as you said, there has been the price inflation and we could actually be quite stable on our pricing.
All right. So since the Sri Muda plant came online, you've added that global procurement hub, like you mentioned. That was last November. And I believe very soon, you've got the second national distribution center as well, right? And that's expected to add about 20% capacity more than your current NDC. Is that right?
Well, it's soon, and obviously you are the first one to know, we are soon opening this one. It's massive. It's one of the biggest distribution centers in the Nestle world. I think it's the biggest one in Malaysia. Just give you a dimension. It's the size of 9 to 10 football fields. It's going to open officially in July. So, yeah, this is going to give us a lot of capacity, because also remember that we are not only selling locally, we're also selling to over 50 countries around the world. We are the biggest exporter in the Nestle world after Nestle US, and that gives you just an idea of the size of our export business.
And we'll get more into the share between your domestic and exports in just a bit. But then, you know, given all those plans that you outlined, what's your CapEx plans for this year? Because we note there's an increase from 2016 to 2017, 200 million ringgit for last year. What's this year's capital expenditure plans?
It's going to be around the same expense.
So
right?
200 million?
Around 200 million. That's a little bit the way we work. We don't want to go for all these big ones. We go more for consistent ones. We had a big influx on CapEx in 2014 where we built the factories. But 200 million, we feel, is a healthy level and a good level of CapEx on a yearly basis.
So tell us then, what's in the pipeline?
Well, what's in the pipeline is really upgrading some of the facilities. We're adding capacity. We are doing very well. And I do hope, you had a chance also to go to this Kit Kat Chocolatory in Mid Valley. We are doing very well on Kit Kat. So we are going there. We will continue to grow the ready-to-drink business. So a lot of additions to existing businesses.
And also we note that in the near future, we've got elections coming up. And given all the goodies that are being thrown around by the political parties, that's got to be an upside for you guys, eh?
Well, we have been around for 100 years in Malaysia, as you know, and we have been going now. This would be election number 14. So we see this more in the long run, right? You know, so yes, consumer trends could go up and down, but I think it's more of a long-term game, and that's what is important for us.
Given that 80% of your sales are for the Malaysian market, 20% exports, where do you think the primary driver for growth will be, say, for 2018?
Both. Absolutely both, right?
Both on equal terms or
well,
one?
Well, you know, when it comes to the local business, this is where we are really in the driver's seat. So what we do is, and we have talked about that one, we have a tremendous focus on innovation. So every year we actually innovate in the amount of around 350 to 400 million, 10%. So innovation is in our DNA, and you know, we are really, I would say in the last 5 years, have become an innovation machine in our industry. Innovation, very important. Now, coming to the export business depends on the sentiment of the export markets around the world. And we can see, and, you know, we all hear that, you know, Asia and specifically ASEAN, there's some good news coming. Indonesia is doing well. The Philippines is doing well. And this helps us also to accelerate the export business.
And when you say innovation, you're not just talking about Kit Kat Nasi Lemak, right? It's more than that, right? Hopefully.
No, we have gone to Kit Kat Durian now, right?
Oh,
no,
so are you serious?
We have a Kit Kat Durian in the
I don't know about that, man. Really? Who asked for that?
It's one of the best sellers in the Chocolatory, by the way, which is in Mid Valley. Go there. It's an amazing product.
Now, although Kit Kat might be selling well, many Malaysians have serious concerns over some of your products. We'll address them in the second half of this chat. I'm speaking to Aloys Hofbauer, CEO of Nestle Malaysia.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Aloys Hofbauer, CEO of Nestle Malaysia. Now, Aloys, as I'm sure you are very well aware, in the 5 years that you've been here, Malaysia is the fattest country in Asia. How much blame should be placed on Nestle?
Well, number one is that we believe that the industry is really playing a vital part in having this agenda, making Nestle, making basically Malaysia, and helping with Nestle, making Malaysia a healthy nation. That's our purpose. So our purpose is really, you know, contributing to a healthier future, enhancing the life of people. That's what we want to do. And I think we have to work together because we all know that a healthy lifestyle has to do with being active. It has to do having a good diet. And we have just to work together that, you know, you, me, we all actually have the discipline to do so.
Right. But then when you talk about healthy future, healthy lifestyle, yet many people look at your product and say that is not healthy given the sugar levels in some of your drinks, your cereals, for example. So shouldn't you be shouldering some of the responsibility? Is Nestle not part of the problem? Well, given the products that you push out there and that you market?
Well, I think not many people know that Nestle was the first, if not the only F&B company, food and beverage company, who signed the WHO commitment, you know, to attack the big three. So when we talk about the big three, it is sugar, it is salt, and it's also trans fat. I think what we have to do is we have to look at the present and in the future and what can we do together? What can we do together? And this is a multi-stakeholder approach. So we have to work together with the industry. We have to work together with the government. We have to go with all kinds of associations. Just give you one idea. And I'm sure you are going to ask me about that one in the future, right? You know, in the next section. Is Milo has been a big part of the One Student, One Sports initiative. More than 2 million, you know, students have gone through this program. By the way, I don't know if you know, 70 of the 100 over medal winners in the SEA Games have been going through this Milo program. So quite impressive. We had the Milo Breakfast Day. More than 50, but I think this year, and I hope you support us on that one, it's going to be close to 80,000 participants on the Milo Breakfast Day. We bring people out. We exercise together. We explain them about a healthy lifestyle. We explain about healthy cooking. So this is what we do. We also have the Healthy Kids program. We have the Omega cholesterol reduction program. There's a lot of things happening. So this is not just as simple as it sounds. And, you know, and by the way, and I'm very sure you asked me about that one, and that's why I'm actually already preempting, because I'm waiting for that one, is Milo is a healthy, nutritious drink.
You stand by that 100%?
150%, all right? It's a great combination of milk, malt, cocoa, and vitamins, calcium. Great product. And by the way, I know that your next question is, it has one teaspoon of added sugar. That's it. Now you go out and you have many, many of the favorites, you know, for example, a syrup or a Tetarik. My God, there's a lot more sugar in this one.
How do you balance out these social costs versus your drive for profitability? I understand that you are a business, you're going to watch your bottom line. But given the levels of unhealthy lifestyle, or given the choices that are being made out there, should Nestle adjust to what's happening in Malaysia?
Well, once again, Han, let's go back to what I said before. We are very, very active in promoting healthy lifestyles. And this is the core. See, our 150 years philosophy has always been good food, good life.
Now, to be fair to you, yeah, you have mentioned on this program a couple of years ago that the sugar content for Milo has been reduced like 22% over the last few years, right? So again, given this latest round of pushback, is that a continuing trend, or, you know?
What I said to you is we have committed to WHO, and as I said, we were the first and maybe even today the only one to reduce further. And you talked about the 22%. We will work, maybe one day down the road, there will be not one, you know, teaspoon of sugar in Milo. But already today, one teaspoon, think about it, right? You know, it's really a healthy choice. It's really a nutritious product. So, but we will also offer products which have no sugar at all, because, you know, there's a trend, you know, no sugar, but not everybody wants to take that. So many people drink their coffee with sugar. Many people drink their coffee without sugar. You also have to give consumers the right choice.
Speaking about consumers then, where does personal choice, where does personal responsibility play into this whole equation? I mean, you got Nestle on one hand, you got the government, right, policymakers on the other, the Ministry of Health, and you got customers. Where do they fit in?
Well, it all starts with us. Maybe you all remember when we have the 1st of January, we have this famous New Year's resolutions. And we all say we want to get fitter, we want to eat, more conscious and so on. So yes, the industry can support. We can give healthier choices. The government can do awareness. But in the end of the day, you, me, we all have to have the discipline. We have to go out, we have to exercise, we have to watch our diet. And all this one will contribute. And by the way, I've been in Asia for over 20 years. I've been in China, I've been in Taiwan, I've been, you know, in many places. I think Malaysia is going in the right direction. There is really a multi-stakeholder commitment. There's awareness. There is opportunities to do so. So I think we are going the right direction. It will take time, but we're learning as we're going. And I think we'll go there.
All right, but as it stands, we are still Asia's fattest country. Now, I understand the formula for your product, you know, that's a business decision. Customers also have a choice, you know, governments have their role. But the criticism here aimed at Nestle is in the marketing. You know, for so many Malaysians, we grew up with that jingle, right? Minum Milo anda jadi sehat dan kuat. It's one thing to say that you've produced medal-winning athletes on the Milo program, but that's secondary to your core, right? Fundamentally, you are marketing Milo to the mass markets, and the mass markets are not world-class athletes. And we note that there has been pushback in how Nestle has marketed its products in other countries as well, be it for milk or bottled water, etc. So would this warrant a change in how Nestle markets its products?
What we have signed is, and that's already quite some time ago, and this was not only Nestle, but an industry initiative, what we call, you know, responsible advertising to children. So we do not advertise to children. We adhere to this code. This is a code which we have set ourselves. And what we do, be it in the sports program and so on, is in conjunction and with the blessing of the Ministry of Sports or the Ministry of Education. So that's important, right? Because let's not say, well, you know, why should Milo not support sports? I think it's a good thing, right? You know, because somebody has to go out and tell our, you know, our young sports is a good thing, right? You know, now that is something which I support very, very, and I'm a sports person myself, right? You know, look, enable them to sport. We are having currently, for example, this relationship with FC Barcelona, right? No, the famous football club. So we're bringing the coaches of FC Barcelona to Malaysia. They're playing with the talented Malaysian, you know, young talents. Who knows? Maybe one day down the road, you know, we have some players from Malaysia playing in Barcelona. So I think this is all great initiatives, and it's very aspirational for our young talent. And no, we do not do unethical advertising. And no, we are not advertising to young kids. This is not the way we are. This is not a part of our business ethics.
So Milo Honey Star is not marketed to young kids? Even with, like, say, on your Milo cans, you've got pictures of young kids in Taekwondo uniforms or partaking in sports. That's not purposefully chosen?
Well, it's a sports image, right? We could argue about the age of the athletes there. But no, look, I think this is not the way we are.
All right, Lois, let's end with this then. Give us your outlook for 2018 from a business perspective and also from a social responsibility perspective.
Well, 2018 has started very well. You know, we will soon announce our results, obviously a little bit prematurely, but I can say so much is that we could really see that overall the market has, you know, improved. That's good news. Still, it will remain a challenging environment. There's a volatility around in the world. We're very confident that we can, you know, achieve, you know, good progress with our very strong strategy. I talked about fit. I talked about our strong brands. Most importantly, by the way, and that's really most importantly, is that our consumer trust remains strong. This is what we're working for Malaysian consumers, and we have to build continuously, and we have to deliver on that trust. By the way, every day, 15 million Malaysians vote for Nestle. 15 millions. So that's a huge responsibility. And this is what we have to deliver upon, to deliver on that trust. So going forward, I am optimistic, very much in the mid and long term. Asia is a, you know, Malaysia is in the heart of Asia. It's a great location. We are a big exporter. We just have invested in this new big distribution center, one of the biggest in the Nestle world. So I'm very optimistic. I'm very, very, very bullish about, you know, Malaysia and the future of Nestle Malaysia.
Thank you very much for your time and your insights. I've been speaking to Alois Hofbauer, CEO of Nestle Malaysia. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, the business station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.